Greetings, Scotch potatoes, across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
That's right. This week we're going to be talking about several movies, so one of them in limited release, which is Stoker, which we finally got a chance to see.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, guys, we don't live in New York and L.A., so we can't, well, we don't live in both places. We don't live in either place.
Eh. So I also don't live in both.
Well, yeah, we could. It's, well, you know, if you're in a split personality, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But, we're going to talk about Stoker, and then we're going to talk about the incredible Bert van der Stone.
Nice.
I always say that it's Colonel Quinn. And then we're going to talk about The Call, which some might predict Halle Berry will win another Oscar for.
I'm pretty sure.
Some people might be wrong. There's also going to be talk about DVDs and Blu-rays. But before we start talking about the movies, let's talk about the movies from last week.
Yes, let's do that.
We can do our happy dance because we were pretty close with our
prediction. We were pretty close. Not bad.
Yeah. We said, I said Oz, The Great and Powerful, was going to win at $70 million. You said was going to win at $74 million. It came in at $79 million, which I'm going to chalk that up to a victory for both of us.
Yes.
Because I'm in a good mood today.
All right.
And because any other way we'd slice
I'm
it.
I'm feeling charitable.
Any other way we'd slice it,
I'll
you were
share
better.
It
you were closer
you.
Than I was. So I'm going to say
because
we both
I'm
share.
Nice that way.
You're so generous.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it did very well. It did not do at the level of Alice in Wonderland I wasn't expecting
no.
it to.
Nope.
I think part of it, there's multiple reasons why. I one of the things that bothers me about how Hollywood does things is they look at something that was an aberration, and I would say Alice in Wonderland
oh, yeah.
was a massive aberration.
Nobody expected that. That came out of nowhere.
So then they suddenly be like, well, it must do this. So it's like we talked about this with the Avengers 2. When that comes out, they'll be like, well, it should make over $200 million its opening weekend.
You're right.
Like,
well,
you know, it's going to be weird to look at the numbers and have it be, it made $150 million opening weekend. What a disappointment.
Right.
You know, unless they spend $800 million to make the movie, which would be interesting. Wait, when is that going to happen? When are movies going to be expensive that they're like cost $1 billion to make? Well, I guess we'll find out in like 2015.
I guess we will.
So, yeah, Oz the Great and Powerful won, which was good. Everyone expected that. Disney was happy because it did a lot better than John Carter did last
mm-hmm.
year. And then Jack the Giant Slayer came in way less with
yeah, look 9. At those numbers. How about that?
Million.
$79 million, 9.8.
Huge drop-off, but it's not a big surprise since it was pretty much going for the exact same market as
right.
Oz the Great and Powerful. And I think Oz more squarely hit that market
yeah.
than Jack the Giant Slayer did. And then it rolls down with Identity Theft at 6.3. It's unfortunately doing extremely well, $117 million so far. Then Dead Man Down tanked.
Yes.
With $5.3 million. To show how bad those numbers are, Snitch was the next in line with $5.1 million. It was not considered a big hit. It's in its third week.
And Snitch is a bad movie.
And Snitch just barely lost to Dead Man Down.
Yeah, it's really sad.
Did you get a chance to see it
I
afterwards?
Did not, but I hear you did.
Yeah, they didn't screen it for us, so I went and saw it over the weekend last week. And it wasn't good. Part of the problem was it felt like this was a movie I would love to know the behind the scenes. I'm sure when the DVD comes out, the commentary is going to be fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
Because it'll tell all the stupid things that happened on it. Because part of the deal was it was Noomi Rapace played a woman who'd been disfigured in an accident.
Okay.
And so she wanted to seek revenge on the guy who, the drunk driver who hit her.
Okay.
Here's the problem. And we went over this last week. Noomi Rapace is just adorable.
She's cute.
She's
We've been here.
She's cute and she's pretty. And she had mild scarring on her face.
Oh, that is terrible.
And that's it. I mean,
we need to get back at that guy.
Yeah, she did not look like Two-Face from The Dark Knight. She had just like, it's like the very, very nice scarring. And
because I've seen trailers for this movie and I never noticed that she was supposed to be disfigured.
Yeah,
so
you could barely see it. And here's the other thing. Part of the deal was her job was she was a beautician.
Okay.
And she felt she couldn't do her job anymore because she looked so hideous that who would take her advice on being beautiful? Here's the problem. If it's just, it's very light scarring. There was really no, like, it wasn't like this, you know, it wasn't like half her face was braided off or anything like that. It looked like she'd been, like, scratched in the windows. A beautician should know where she could get decent cover-up.
Yeah, probably.
And just cover it up, and then it would be almost not noticeable. But bottom line, even with scarring,
or she could
on,
wear a mask,
or she could,
like
she could.
A cool like Phantom of the Opera mask,
or like a Vanilla Sky mask,
and it could be like a new trend.
Yeah, yeah, and like a hipster hat.
Yeah,
and darkroom glasses.
Sure.
But the thing is, Noomi Rapace, with a little bit of scarring on her face, is still, like, more attractive than 90% of the women in the world. So she's already still, like, way at the top.
Yeah.
And what that said to me is that said that whatever the guy, I don't know how to say the guy's name, but the guy directed it, who's Swedish. No, he's Danish, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But Girl with the Dragon Tattoo was Swedish. I think he brought this story. He wanted to make this story. And he's like, well, we're going to scar up Noomi Rapace. And the studios are notorious for doing this. They're like, well, you can't disfigure our star. You can't make our beautiful star look ugly. Because they did that with – they made a big stink about –
but when you do that, you always win an Oscar.
Yeah. Well
so why not?
Do you remember Valkyrie?
Yes.
What a stink they made over the fact that Tom Cruise was going to wear an eye patch.
Right.
And just, I mean, like, no, really, seriously. And so you knew what happened was, they're like, no, 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 you can't make her ugly. No, you can't. Nope, you can't.
I'm telling
you,
Oscar gold.
Yeah, she should have.
Yeah.
And then it was.
Doesn't matter how bad the movie is.
The movie derails in like 20 minutes and like never recovers. Mm. It is such a mess. And what's really funny about it is they have these two action sequences just kind of ham-fisted into it. And they're like, they're really out of place. So it's this really morose, dark, Northern European filmmaking.
Right, yeah.
With these enormous action set pieces in the middle of it.
Hmm.
Oddly just crammed in there. So
interesting.
We talked way more than we should have for a $5.3 million movie. There's also then 21 and Over. Then we had this rattling down all the other movies.
Yep.
Last Exorcism rounding out at 3.2 in its second weekend. And then Emperor, which also came out last week. And limited
which
release.
Actually made more than you predicted.
Yeah,
you predicted $750,000.
Well, because like the what was the one that came out a couple weeks ago? Phantom.
Yes,
that made like $500,000.
Right.
This one made twice as much in fewer theaters at $1 million. It wasn't bad. It was an okay movie. It was a little bit overly apologetic to sort of like Japanese culture, because
okay.
I always get irritated at like World War II movies when the Nazis, if you say they're following orders, you're like, no, shame on you. You shouldn't do that. And that's rightfully so. That's the attitude to have. They're like, if you just following orders is not an excuse to do atrocities. But Japanese, if it's your culture, that's okay. The atrocities, we'll just kind of overlook those for right now. And that's there's a lot of sort of revisionist history going on for the Japanese culture in World War II movies. Not to crap on the Japanese culture, but I find that a little bit of a break. In my opinion, you're going to treat the Germans one way, you got to treat the Japanese the same
way.
True. Historically. So, and Oz made $69.9 million overseas.
Okay.
Pretty much doubled its run.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. You can get a hold of us at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/FGATM. And you can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/KevinCarr.
And I am KDK Reviews, and you can find me at realdiscovery.org and nightsandweekends.com.
Cool. Let's talk real quick about some news. You wanted to talk about Kickstarter, didn't you?
Yes, there was a little thing that happened this week.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little thing.
Just a little thing.
Yeah, Veronica Mars, which, did you watch the show?
I never seen an episode.
I maybe saw one episode. I had a friend who was a big fan.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, what was it, on
WB.
Wednesday this week?
Yeah.
Wednesday this week, that in the morning they decided, okay, we're going to announce this Kickstarter thing. Everybody's talking. They want this Veronica Mars movie.
Mm.
So Wednesday morning they say, okay, Kickstarter, if we can make $2 million in 30 days, we will make this movie. And it was, what, 11 hours?
It was a day. It was less than a day.
That the $2 million came in.
It was the fastest it got to a million of anything in a Kickstarter. But here's the thing.
Yes.
I think with that $2 million, they've got enough to cover Kristen Bell's salary.
It's true.
And I had somebody on Twitter say to me, they're like, well, she's not worth it. I'm like, try and make a Veronica Mars movie without her.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. So there's that. The other thing is, this is going to cost more than $2 million to make this movie.
Well, yes. So now what?
Yeah. One, I saw somebody, and I can't remember who said this, I think it was somebody from Ain't It Cool News, said on Twitter, they said, well, they should have Disney release it and call it Veronica. And then everyone will complain because it doesn't have Mars in the title.
Nice.
Ha ha, dig at John Carter. Anyways, we got to go to a break. If you have anything more you want to say about it, we can talk about it on the other side. But we're also going to talk about Stoker, The Incredible Burt Wonderstone, and The Call.
I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my head I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer-Kramer. We were just talking about this week's news, things, you know, box office things.
Kickstarter and box office.
Like
money matters. See, in this show, we tell you where to send your money to lose it.
We do get,
we're not an investment firm.
We take care of the accounting details in the beginning. Now we can get on to the movies.
Yes. Movies. What's the first one? We've got Stoker. This is in limited release.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually been out in the bigger cities, and it actually comes out in Columbus, which is our hometown.
Next week. Yep.
But we're going to talk about it here because, you know, you may be listening to this. Now, who knows where you're listening to this? Because we have that much reach, and we're so powerful.
Nice.
In Stoker, a girl develops a strange relationship with her uncle shortly after the death of her father.
India, is something wrong?
Yes. My father is dead.
Richard Stoker was a family man. Taken from us by a cruel twist of fate, the reasons for which are unknown.
India, come and say hello to your Uncle Charlie.
Hello, India.
I'm curious about what happened to my father.
Are you a fan of, and I always mess up the guy's name. It's Chan Woo Park.
Chan Wook Park. Yes.
Yeah. Are you a fan of his stuff?
I'm not. I'm really not that familiar with his earlier work.
It's really just Old Boy is what he's most known for.
Which we were talking about that the other day. Neither of us has seen it.
I have had it in my Netflix queue, but it means I got to like read subtitles.
So. Exactly.
I'm a big
and we
dumb
know
American.
How you feel about things like that, reading.
I'm a big dumb American.
Nobody wants to read.
Who wants to read subtitles? Can't they just... And I said that once with somebody. I was watching something and it was Inside.
Okay.
Which is this really just violent French movie. And I mentioned I was watching it with the dubbing. And somebody like freaked out over me on Twitter. I'm like, seriously? I can watch it how I want to. Well, you don't get the performance. And I'm like, yeah, but I spend the whole time looking at the bottom of the screen.
It's true.
If they got the dubbing, let the dubbing happen.
Yeah.
So. Anyways, what do you think of Stoker?
Stoker is an interesting movie.
Mm-hmm.
It is all about the atmosphere.
Yeah.
This movie is all atmosphere. I mean, it is an eerie movie right from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know there is something completely messed up going on with this family, but you have no idea what it is because it could be a number of things.
Is there something before the titles? Because I walked in late because I had to deal with a
I don't think you missed anything.
I came in right when it said Chan Wook Park, directed by, and then Stoker.
Yeah, I don't think there was much that you missed. There was a little bit of an opening, but...
There wasn't like the opening of A Serious Man where they had the Dybbuk coming in and everything?
No.
Okay.
You're good.
Yeah? you don't have anything to say about this. You're just like,
you took a deep breath like you were coming in with something and I was waiting for it.
No, I'm fat. I just need to breathe heavy.
That's just how you
happens.
Breathe.
So what did you think of Stoker? No. Did you like it, though?
I did in a way.
All right.
Because... As I said, it's all about the atmosphere, and I really appreciate that. I love the way it looks. I love the way it feels.
Yeah.
The story to me, there are a few things in the end that I was like, but that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
What about this? And what about that?
There's a certain change that happens at one point to one of the characters, and I'm like, well, that was kind of abrupt.
Yeah.
And I mean, he like very, very much changed.
Yes.
Boris batted off movie reviews. Very much changed by Moots and Squirtle. I thought it was a neat movie.
Yeah.
I am not familiar with the director's work.
Mm-hmm.
I've not seen Old Boy, but I know people who've said with Old Boy, there's a very big twist at the end, and people that I know people are like, oh, I was so shocked. And some people have been like, I saw that coming a mile away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a huge, while I can appreciate Asian cinema for the extreme Asian cinema, and this would fall into extreme Asian cinema, even though it's
cinnamon,
not
cinnamon and
extreme Asian cinnamon, even though it's not like it's not, you know, in your face and crazy. It is atmospheric, but it kind of falls into that sort of the modern Asian cinema of the horror films and that sort of thing. It's not Takashi Miike, which is extreme, but. I'm not wild about that, and it is all atmosphere. You're right.
It is.
There's not a whole lot of crazy stuff that happens, and it does kind of fall in the traps of saying, well, you're really being stupid. You know, if the person had half a brain, and does somebody not notice this stuff? And yeah, so there's a lot of that questioning going on.
Yeah.
But that's not what the movie's meant to be. It's meant to be a mosaic of weird, creepy scenes that you're not supposed to question. You're supposed to just take as strange.
Right. And that's my problem, because I walk away and I question it.
Immediately.
Yeah. But hold on. That doesn't make sense.
You walked out of the screen. You're waving your arms like, what about this? What about this?
No, I was, though. That night we had another screening, or the next night.
Yeah.
And we were sitting there talking about the movie. And I'm like, but what about this? And what about this?
Yeah.
And I was talking to Jason Zingale from Bullseye. And he's like, oh, yeah, I guess I didn't really think about that.
And I think part of it is Americans can look at a movie. This is the director's Korean, but it could be a Korean or Japanese or Hong Kong. And look at those movies. And if it's outside of our culture, you can just accept weird things because you'd be like, well, you know, I don't think about that. It's the whole thing's odd to me because it's a different culture.
Okay.
When it's meant to be an American culture, you tend to question it more.
Yeah.
So,
and usually with movies like this, I can sit back and just appreciate them and enjoy them. But yeah, this had a few nagging things that that still bugged me.
It wasn't a fantastic movie.
No.
But I thought it's worth seeing.
Yes.
I give it a kind of rocks.
I agree. Kind of rocks.
All right. You're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. We're going to talk about the next film, which is The Incredible Bert van der Stone, in which Steve Carell plays a once famous Vegas magician who has lost his audience to an edgy stunt magician.
I hate when that happens.
I'm Bert Wonderstone.
And I'm Anton Marvelson.
But of course, you already knew that.
Your ticket sales suck.
What?
Steve Gregg, they're calling him the future of magic.
This guy's a magician. He doesn't even have a costume.
I'm sure you've seen people walk on red hot coals, but I doubt you've seen anyone spend the night on red hot coals.
That's one of the reasons why I wanted to see this movie. I was dying to see this. Is the bad guy in this is Jim Carrey, and he basically plays an amalgamation of David Blaine and Criss Angel as the sort of this extreme, crazy, break the laws of magic. I hate those things. David Blaine, and what cheeses me off about David Blaine is he is a brilliant close-up magician. If you ever watch his close-up work, you know, like card tricks and stuff like that, he's brilliant. I've seen him, like, put a pencil through a glass pane, a pane of glass. You're like, how do you, just at a store, you know, how do you do that?
Yeah.
He has some amazing tricks. And Criss Angel has some interesting stuff, but it's sort of that the stunts of I'm going to stand on this pillar for 3 days.
Right.
That's my trick. I always wanted to do a David Blaine stunt and just sit on my couch all weekend.
I think you've done that.
Well, no, and I'd not get up. Never get up. My wife would have to bring me food, and I'd probably be wearing adult diapers. But, you know, look for us. FatGuysInTheMovies.com. We'll have that.
We'll have that
out
on Kickstarter. $2 million.
We got about 30 seconds. We'll talk a little bit more about it on the other end of the break. Was there anything you want to say real quick about Bert Wonderstone?
Nope.
Overall, I'll say this. I thought it was probably one of the funniest movies I've seen in a while. I really did enjoy the humor. Oh, that's right. You didn't see it.
I didn't.
That's right. You didn't see it. Okay.
I missed it. The in-laws were in town.
Oh, my goodness. Family. The actors are what makes this movie work because they know how to do the comedy and they know where to find the comedy, because overall the story and the setup is kind of a dumb premise.
Yeah.
It's a really ridiculous premise. I'll expound on that in a little bit when
we
come back. We're talking about more on Bert. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
Hello.
We were talking a little bit about, well, I was, because you didn't get a chance to see it, Bert Wonderstone.
I was listening really well, though.
You were. You're like, right. The thing with Bert Wonderstone is it's not just the lines. It's how the lines are delivered. And there's some funny things in there, but it's because you've got masterful comedic actors.
Well, yeah. You've got Steve Carell and Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Well, and really, the real team is between Steve Carell and Steve Buscemi. Mm-hmm. And both of them are very generous actors. Even though Steve Carell's the A-lister now, he still lets other people do the funny.
Mm-hmm.
Other people bring the funny. And that takes a lot for an actor. And he does that a lot in this movie.
Hmm.
You also have Alan Arkin. Alan Arkin plays...
Who is wonderful in anything.
He's brilliant in this because it's edgy at times, and it gets sometimes kind of crass, but it doesn't overplay its jokes, and it moves from joke to joke. And that's actually the key to a good comedy, is to move from joke to joke and not overplay it.
Right.
And because there's nothing worse than watching a comedy that's the joke's overplayed and there's kind of silence in the theater, and you're like, this, they think people are going to be roaring with laughter.
Right, and it's a really bad joke, and they just keep running with it.
And it doesn't work.
And it wasn't funny the first time.
Like, Get Him to the Greek, which had this one scene. There was one scene in that, I remember, where there's people running around there crazy, and just people weren't, it wasn't the dress scene in Bridesmaids, which had people howling in the aisles. It was kind of silence.
I still don't know why.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't howling.
No.
Maybe in pain. I was probably howling in pain.
I was not a big fan of Bridesmaids.
No, I wasn't either.
Okay. Good. We are on the same page.
Right.
But
well,
anyways,
right along.
I give Burt Wonderstone I'm kind of between kind of rocks and rock. I'm going to say rocks.
All right.
I'm going to say rocks.
You're in a good mood today.
I am in a good mood.
All right.
That's right. Let's talk about the next movie. What
All
we got coming
right.
up?
We've got The Call.
Yay!
Halle Berry plays a 911 operator who takes a call from a teenage girl who's been kidnapped.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes.
911, where's your emergency? Officers are going to be there any second.
He's going back downstairs.
Leia?
I hear the phone ring.
Whoever this is, I suggest you leave that house before you do anything you're going to regret.
It's already done.
Now, this was an interesting movie as well.
There's a build-up to this one. This is almost as epic as the Red Dawn kerfuffle of 2012.
Is it?
Well, just the build-up to the fact we...
That's true. There is that. Would you like to discuss that?
There's a lot of studio embargoes on this movie. They screened it, which I love the fact they screened it, but boy, they didn't want us talking about it.
Oh, no. No.
Yeah.
You were going to bring your blood pen, right?
I should have.
To sign off on this one.
Yeah. But
so we're finally allowed to talk about it.
But I'm going to give the studio credit. They screened it. And thank you for having the Stones to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think you should screen every movie. Because even if it's a terrible film, you're going to find somebody who likes it.
And you're still getting press.
Yeah.
You're still having people talk about it. So keep screening things.
Did you like The Call?
No, I did not.
Not at all?
You know, in the beginning, it's a really interesting movie.
Okay.
You know, you take this whole 911 operator situation, and it's something that you don't see often. And it's really interesting to watch how it works.
Well, the opening credits, they have 911 calls.
Oh,
the
well, best, yeah, there's that.
It's hilarious because you hear the person going, 911, what's your emergency? And the person like, oh, my God, I just shot my father. They're like, police are on their way. And I don't know if those are real calls.
The opening, it's either the most heart-wrenching calls you can imagine or the most absolutely ridiculous calls you can imagine. I'm like, oh, is this where the movie is going? Because it makes my head hurt already.
My brother got stuck in the doggy door.
Yeah. It's stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, watching the two go back and forth.
Yeah.
When, you know, you get into the situation and Halle Berry is trying to get this girl to calm down and, you know, do all the things that are necessary to get her saved.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really interesting. But then it just goes into this downward spiral of insanity.
It goes off the rails at one point.
Completely.
And really, and then it like finds more rails to go off at the end.
Yeah. It's just, there are characters doing things that no human being in the right mind would do. And then you've got the bad guy who, the more you get to know him, the crazier he is.
I kind of, you know, I don't know whether I thought he did a brilliant job doing it or if he was the worst actor ever on the planet.
Personally, to me, he didn't seem like he was smart enough to be driving a car, much less like kidnapping someone and planning this whole thing out.
It's very intricate. If this movie, I thought about this, and I said this to Nick Harum from Movies Hate You Too after we saw it. If this movie came out in 1997, it would have been awesome. It just feels like a 90s movie.
Yeah.
It feels like one of those 90s pseudo cop. Oh, yeah.
It was a little 90s.
She kind of had the Dracula hair. Like
nice.
The, the sort of ethnic version of Dracula from Bram Stoker's Dracula by Francis Ford Coppola.
Ethnic version of Dracula.
Well, I mean, I guess he was ethnic. He was Romanian. But he had white hair, like bright white hair. And it was in that like butt bun, that peach bun. And that's what her hair looks like. It's amazing hair.
Okay.
I couldn't keep my eyes off of it.
Yes, it was fascinating.
But here's the thing. This is not a good movie.
No.
It is not a good movie. It's pretty much a bad movie.
I have never heard people laughing so hard at the screening of a thriller.
Well, but I can't say I wasn't entertained.
It was kind of entertaining.
And what's the point of movies but to entertain?
But for all the wrong reasons.
It reminded me of Gone from last year. Did you see that?
I didn't know that was...
Amanda Seyfried?
Right.
Yeah. I saw that. I snuck in to see this. They didn't screen it for press, but I snuck in. I laughed so hard in that movie. And I said when I was done with it, I said, this movie is either a work of genius or absolute dog poop. There's no in between. And while I don't think that's the same for this one, but it had the same things. Some things were played so heavy-handed.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's one scene when she's upset and she leaves the call center. She goes up to the roof and her boyfriend is played by Morris Chestnut. Mm-hmm. As a beat officer who, for some reason, was running a detective investigation in the movie.
Whatever.
He comes up, he's like, you know, they can't run that floor without you. And I'm like, really? One person will take down the entirity of the 911 operations
it's
in Los
true.
Angeles.
Yes, it was in the beginning. It is very melodramatic.
Yeah,
and that is the movie's greatest offense in the beginning.
Yeah, it overdoes it.
And then in the end, it's just all over the place.
But like, it's awesome. It's still awesome in a certain way. It's one of those movies that you could get hammered and go see and think is the greatest movie ever made. I don't think Halle Berry is going to win that Academy Award again for her.
No, I don't think so.
But I don't know. Maybe she should, because it's amazing. I have to say, I watched the movie and I'm like, this is terrible. And they have just some of the worst lines. And the director should know better, because it's Brad Anderson.
Yeah.
Who did movies like, you know, Session 9 and The Machinist and Happy Accidents.
Trans-Siberian.
Yeah.
Yeah. This guy has made movies that are actually decent.
Real quality flicks. And you're just like, what happened here? And there's like these weird freeze frames before violent acts happen.
Yeah.
And it is
such a mess.
So insane, but it's
on the bright side,
amazingly entertaining.
Nick Harum was sitting between the two of us, and I have never heard him laugh like that in all my life. Never heard him laugh like that. He is not a guy who laughs.
No.
No, he's a guy who kind of chuckles if you're lucky.
But it's all ridiculous things.
Yeah.
And they'd show something, like they show this one thing, and I can't say it because it reveals plot, but all of a sudden, they're like, oh, we're going to show this. And I'm like, what? And at one point, did you hear me? I said something like, oh, no. Or something. I made some noise. And I'm just like, no, you're really not going there, are you? It's just so ludicrous and terrible.
I think most of us were talking at the screen during this movie because, you know, we just gave up.
Everybody was. I could hear people all over going, oh, no, that's crazy. Don't do that. Oh, no. And
about a half hour in, we all gave up because we knew that there was nothing going on with this movie. You might as well just sit back and have fun with it.
But it is a fun movie. It's something that they could do riff tracks on in a year or two.
Okay.
All right. We've got about 45 seconds left. So let's talk about box office predictions.
Mm.
What do you think is going to win?
I think it's your turn this week.
All right. I'm going to say Oz the Great and Powerful wins again with $35
million. Look at this. Look at my numbers.
Did you do it?
What do I have?
36. Uh-oh.
Oz at 36.
36, 35. 35 for me. And 36 for you.
There you go.
That's right. We'll find out who wins on that one next week when we come back. But when we come back now, because we've got to go to break, we are going to now leave and come back and talk about DVDs.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
That's me.
Nice. That was well done.
Thank you.
I think you should sing like opening credits for the show.
I have a lovely singing voice.
You do.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you've talked about that. You were going to do your Christmas album.
I was in show choir when I was in high school.
Nice.
Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Jazz hands.
Hmm.
The most embarrassing thing that happened in show choir to me was we had these gold vests, because it's always Flash. So there's all these kind of gold lamé vests. Not, well, it was, I don't know what this stuff was, but, you know, buttons, has buttons in the front.
Sure.
And we were doing something where we had to, we kind of like, I don't know if it was like a Russian thing, or we like squatted down, and, you know, and we kind of went down on our knees and then got back up.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did that once, like the buttons, like two of the buttons just go, and they just go flying into the audience.
It was part of the act, folks.
It's totally fine. Sorry. So pay no attention to the person bleeding in the second row. I'm like, ow, my head.
Yeah, I was in girls' choir. That was all I did.
What exactly? What is it? Just was it just a choir with girls?
Choir with girls. Yeah.
I would have killed to get in girls' choir.
And actually, our choir director had something going on that year, so mostly it was just study hall in the choir room.
That's
what it ended up being.
See, I liked doing stuff like choir because there was like this 3-to-1 girl boy ratio.
Nice.
It was a great way to meet chicks. And, you know, you could dance, too. I could dance. I had to dance. I did jazz hands. I had, like, you know, I did all this stuff.
Can you bring in pictures of that? Because I would like to see pictures of that.
No, but
Can we post them on the website?
I found pictures of myself wrestling in high school. I used to wrestle.
Nice.
Like not professionally. We were wearing masks and nice. Hitting each
did
other
you have
in
a
chairs.
Name? Yes. A wrestling name?
I'm the crusher. No, but I had the singlet on and everything. I was at my parents' house digging through their attic trying to find something.
Wow.
Have you ever done that? Like, gone and then find all this
wrestle?
Stuff?
Wrestle?
No. No, you found stuff wrestling. No, you found, like, stuff from high school?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's still, my mom has boxes and boxes and boxes. And every time I go home, she's like, someday you're going to have to clean this stuff out.
And you're like,
why did you keep it all in the first place?
Thanks, Mom. No room in the car. Bye.
Yeah, I always say that. No room in our house. Sorry.
Well, it's funny and you'll notice this when your daughter gets older, because you'll find yourself having to go find, like, oh, I had this thing when I was a kid and it would be good for my kid. And you'll go and try and find it. And then you'll find, like, oh my God, remember this thing this book and this toy and, you know, all these weird things and trinkets and half the stuff falls apart. Like a couple of, like, was it? No, it was last year around this time. I went and got my old Star Wars toys.
Oh.
And gave them my kids, like, vintage stuff, like the stuff from the 78. Collection.
Wow.
And
I have an old Yoda somewhere.
Was it the little Yoda?
Mm-hmm.
With the snake, and he has the little cane, and he had a robe.
Yep.
Why did you... That's it? Just a Yoda?
I had a Yoda.
Yoda, that's it.
I found it.
You found it?
I did. I found it.
Did it have all the accessories to it?
No, it's just a little Yoda.
Just a Yoda? Yeah. Just a naked Yoda. It's like, no! He's there shivering. You take him home, he's shivering in the shower. He's like, it was terrible! I don't know what atrocities had been committed to Yoda.
I have no idea.
But I
found him and took him home and gave him a good place to live.
Aw, until the
with
cat
my
died.
Smurfs.
Smurfs.
Mm-hmm.
He was like the.
He rode my My Little Ponies around. He had a great life.
And Yoda's like, oh gosh, I hope Mace Windu can't see me now. Speaking of weirdly inappropriate stuff.
Oh, great.
I want to mention one other movie that I saw. I don't have a trailer for it here, but it's called K-11.
Yes.
And it's a weird little movie. It's directed by, and I don't know why they, I know why the publicists are pumping it this way.
Yeah.
It's not a good way to pump it. Hmm. It's directed by Kristen Stewart's mom.
Yes.
And that's how they're introducing it.
Kristen Stewart's mom, who did not want Kristen Stewart in her movie.
No, she actually had a part
did
for
she?
Her in it. Yeah, and what happens to the girl? Guy that she would play is really disturbing.
Hmm.
And I'm like, why would you want to direct this on your daughter? Because the story's about the K-19 block in L.A. County Jail that was carved out for homosexual and transgender men who were getting abused and beaten and all that kind of thing in the general population. So it's sort of this haven. But And apparently she co-wrote it with a guy who had been in there.
Okay.
But you watch this thing, and it's basically like a women's prison movie with, like, transgenders and gay men. It's weird. And it is like a John Waters film. It's like a John Waters prison film without the light fluffiness of a John Waters movie.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
And it is really extreme. And, like, one of the – there's a lot of awful things that happen to the people in there, and especially one that was supposed to be played by Kristen Stewart. It's not that good of a movie. It really isn't. And Jules Stewart is known for being a script supervisor, and this is her big chance to do a directorial debut. And it's just not good.
Hmm.
It's trying to be extreme, and it's just ludicrously extreme. And what's funny is I don't think, maybe I just wasn't looking at the screen. Maybe I was looking away during the credits and they like gave an explanation of what this place was, but you kind of just hit the ground running. And it wasn't until like I was about halfway through and I'm like, oh wait, they're either gay or they're transgender or something. And it takes a while to actually pick up on that.
Huh.
Because you're like, why are they in there with women? Why are they putting them all together in this general population? Because that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
But apparently maybe I wasn't paying attention. But it was funny because I was watching and my son kept coming in the room. I'm like, nope, you can't come in during the prison rape scene. Sorry. Go back and watch SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And what's so frustrating is I read an article about it. And I'd say 90% of the article was about Kristen Stewart.
Interesting. Kristen Stewart, who is not appearing in this film.
Kristen Stewart is not appearing in this film, and her mom doesn't really want to be associated with Twilight, but we're going to talk about Twilight for 60% of the article.
Nice.
So, anyhow. I'm going to say that one kind of sucks.
Okay.
Sorry, Jules Stewart. It opens limitedly this week, like 15 mm-hmm. cities. Columbus is one of them, actually.
It is.
At the Gateway Film Center.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. DVD, what's coming up now? I just totally stepped all over that.
You've ruined it.
And after 300 shows, I don't think I would have gotten that one right.
So anyway, up next.
The world famous.
DVD Roundup. That's just not the same.
Yeah, I messed up. I'm a bad boy. I'm going to sit in the corner. You talk about the movies.
Okay, well, let's see what we have this week. We have Life of Pi coming out on Blu-ray, also in 3D.
Yes.
Hey, you're not going to talk about it. I am.
I'm a bad boy.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah. You can continue.
Life of Pi won an Oscar.
It did.
A couple, actually.
Best director. Yeah. That was kind of a big one.
Yeah.
A surprise for most of us,
Did you like Life of Pi?
I liked it. I didn't love it.
See, I loved it.
And I think one thing about the Blu-ray release, I've been going through the special features this week, and it actually makes me appreciate it that much more.
Really?
Yes. And that's one of those things, if you find special features on a Blu-ray that actually make you care about something, that is good.
That is always good.
And this one, I was kind of intrigued by all the process of everything they went through to make this movie. It's really interesting.
And then they all lost their jobs.
Well, there's that.
You heard about that, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The movie kind of bankrupted the effects house.
For a good reason.
Well, but they undercut.
This is some crazy stuff going on in this movie.
Well, but the thing is, they undercut their price so much, and so people afterwards, after it won the Oscar, everyone's like, "Oh, you know, solidarity with effects people." I'm like, "Don't underbid your work. If you're going to bid so low that you go bankrupt on a movie that's made like over $600 million worldwide, you're an idiot." So go work for another company. There's also Rise of the Guardians, which I loved.
Yes, I did too.
So cool.
I was very excited to get that one.
What's neat about it is it came out at Christmas and now it's out for Easter.
Right. It's perfect.
It can go out anytime. Yes. Arbor Day.
And the Blu-ray comes with two hopping little Easter eggs.
Oh, so awesome.
It's so cute.
Yeah. There's also Hitchcock, which I kind of liked. It wasn't fantastic.
I did too, yeah.
It's based on the book, the story of the making of Psycho. Alfred Hitchcock. It's based on the making of Psycho. It's based on that guy's book.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of shook your head like you don't believe me.
No, go ahead.
But the guy actually was funny as I did a commentary on Film School Rejects.
Okay.
And the guy who wrote the book does the commentary for the Psycho DVD, and I did a piece on that.
Uh-huh.
And it's actually equally interesting going back and watching Psycho with the commentary to kind of fill in the blanks and hear a lot of the same stories that get shown in the movie. Real quick, we got to run down a couple more. We've got Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Mulan, Brother Bear, Hunchback of Notre Dame, and Willow all coming to Blu-ray this week. So
good stuff.
Good Disney stuff. There's also Storage 24, which is an interesting British film from Magnet about people stuck in a storage facility.
Okay.
With a monster. And then The Blob on Criterion. The stinker this week is The Taint, which is from Troma. It's probably awful. Review wrap-up, The Incredible Burt Wonderstone. I said rocks. You didn't get a chance to see. Stoker, you said?
Kind of rocks.
I said it kind of rocks. The Call, I say it kind of rocks.
I say it sucks.
Sucks.
Yeah. Sorry.
All right. Well, when we got to leave now. When we get back next week, we're going to talk about The Croods, Admission, and Olympus Has Fallen. Till then.
See you next week.